KSCU Santa Clara presents Robots Attack. Movies, TV, video games, comic books, tech stuff, news, music, if it is geek. It's on Robots Attack. Participate in the show by commenting on Facebook, tweeting them at Robots Attack Me, emailing the show robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Now, Robots Attack.
That's right. Welcome to Robots Attack here on KSCU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, the Underground Sound. I am Joe, and with me is
Caleb
and
Jason.
That's right. We're back to rock you with all the geek we've got in us. All
Woo!
Of it.
I'm reserving like 14% of my geek for later.
Oh, okay. All right. You need a little bit.
Well, I mean, if I need to go through my entire reserve, I'll do that because I want to be there for you guys, but.
And for our listeners, our dear listeners out there.
Oh, right. Yeah. Them
yes.
Too. Yeah.
That's more important.
Okay.
Do it for them. Do it for them. They need you.
Fine. They get my extra 25%.
Yay. All right.
Okay.
See, listeners, we love you. And how can they show that love, Caleb?
Well, if you would like to show your love to our show.
Show your love.
You can go to facebook.com/robotsattackshow, like our page. Like our posts, comment on them, post your own stories, things you think we should be covering. You can also do those same exact acts, almost, except for the liking, at twitter.com/robotsattackme. That's our two primary forms of communication during the show. If you are post-show or between shows, if you're getting this via podcast, you can go to robotsattack.me. That's our own website. There is archives, there are email links, everything you need to know about us is there.
Yeah. And feel free to like all of it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, there's only a button for one of them.
Yeah.
Or we'll only know off of the one.
You can enjoy all of it,
right?
But you can hit the like button on one of them.
One of them, or like plus one it on Google Plus.
I don't know. There you go.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, something like that.
Something like that.
Because there's so many people on Google Plus.
It's true, but I do post it on there.
We do, yes. So, it does. We are.
We try to make sure
that you, no matter how you want to get your geek centric talk, you can get it.
That's right. And if there's a place that we should be, and you're like Robots Attack should be there. Let us know.
Mm-hmm.
On all those various things that Caleb just said.
I'm nodding right now.
Mm-hmm, see?
Yeah.
You are playing the role as the audience. Yes, I will. I will. I will let them know. So yes. We are a geek center talk show, like Caleb mentioned so eloquently.
Yeah, thank you.
What is that? What is that? Well,
it covers a lot of stuff nowadays because geek culture has become much more mainstream. But we cover things like movies, comic books, television, video games,
tech news.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I even try and throw in some animal news that a lot of times does involve tech, like especially one of my stories later tonight.
And
Caleb talks about space a lot.
Space.
Lots of space
news. Yeah.
Gotta
love meet the space.
Gotta have space. And then usually Jason throws in something involving, is it DARPA or is it like...
Right.
DARPA shows up a lot.
I try and involve like potentially future evil robots at some point. Just keeping the theme.
Yeah,
you know?
It just makes the theme a little more relevant.
I like to try and stay accurate, you know?
Yeah.
There you go. At least one of us. One third of the show, tries to
right.
Do that, right?
One third of the show is giving an extra 25% with evil robots. Wait, I'm sorry. Potentially future
evil
robots.
Potential.
Yeah. We're not sure.
We don't
want
to judge or you know, force some sort of thing onto them. They're still growing.
No open condemnation of them at this point.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Jinx. Oh, somebody owes somebody some form of liquid.
Refreshment.
Yeah, that's probably better to clarify that. So there's lots of liquids.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so we like to start off the show with what we call geek talk, which is pretty much just us talking about what we've been up to. So, gents, what you been up to?
I've been playing way more Destiny than I ever thought I ever would.
I know. Every time I look on Xbox and I see you're playing Destiny, it just flashes me back to like when we were first talking about games we were excited for and like just the whole kind of thing of Destiny. I'm like, man, out of all of us, I never would have picked Jason as the one who'd been playing it the most.
I was not psyched about it, like hardly at all. I was trying to get myself psyched because everybody else was.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I've easily ended up becoming the most passionate about that game out of my circle of friends, at least. So, and I'm still a relative noob from a lot of standpoints. I just got level 31 on Titan.
Woohoo!
But
nice.
Other than that...
Is that, what's the level cap now?
Right now
something?
It's 34.
Okay. But
yeah, even when I was running at 30, I was pretty happy with the Titan that I'm running right now, just because I'm able to finally run with 34s and not have them be completely annoyed at how worthless I am. And that's a good feeling, you know? Yeah.
So is Titan your favorite class, or...?
It has turned into my favorite class just because it's a really nice... I wouldn't have ever expected it to have the mobility that it has. I really like the way it functions.
Mm-hmm.
It's not quite as mobile as the Warlocks, but...
Few characters are as mobile as the Warlocks with the glide ability. It's like, yeah, I can totally cross that canyon with two jumps.
Yeah.
Boop, boop.
Yeah, being able to outright fly around is a pretty cool ability. But yeah, I would have guessed that I'd be more of a hunter type, but their movement abilities aren't near as cool to me as either the Titan or the Warlock, I think.
Oh, okay. A couple of my coworkers are mentioning that supposedly the hunter has now a quad jump.
I did not know about that. Whoa. I knew about triple, and I just unlocked Blink on my hunter, so maybe that'll make all the difference. But I know Blink has kind of fallen out of vogue. I haven't seen people use it near as much lately. So,
Okay. Well, here's something that isn't out of vogue. Want to have a healthy, lush yard while using less water, fertilizers, and herbicides?
Sounds awesome.
Join Guadalupe River Park Conservancy and Master Gardeners of Santa Clara County to learn how to replace your thirsty lawn with a beautiful low water landscape. Saturday, June 13th, I believe that's this Saturday, from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m., call 408-298-7657. That's 408-298-7657. Or visit grpg.org to learn more.
And for clarification, this Saturday is the 13th.
All right.
Okay. Confirmed with the calendar.
Okay.
Nice. All right, calendar.
Woo, calendar.
Yeah, because that calendar still is May.
Yeah, they probably should fix that.
Nobody pays attention to calendars in the actual radio room.
Physical calendars.
What's that?
So you're still liking the Destiny. It's still, still got you.
Yeah, House
still...
of Wolves definitely ended up adding a lot more of the fun to it, and they sprinkled gifts and happiness liberally through the entire game to make people a little bit more accepting of stuff.
Well, it also makes sense, like the second expansion would sort of like overcome some of the weaknesses that the first one did, because it's like it's the second it's like effectively 2.0, it's the point 0.02. If we call Destiny that Destiny proper, like the one you get on a disc as version 1, this is like version 1.2.
Yeah. I mean, the big thing that I think killed people on the last one was all of the new loot. You'd get to a point and you'd get done grinding all of your guns to be like a really high level just so you can get at all of the new stuff. And you get the new stuff and then you'd have to like grind all over again. And a lot of people weren't terrible happy with that. So all of the new stuff that they put out with the newest expansion is pretty much like usable and really cool right out of the box, which
kind
of
nice.
Yeah, it makes it a much more happy experience instead of like, well, this could be cool if I put another 30 hours into it.
Yeah, that's the one thing you really don't want to hear when you've pulled a new fun thing out of your box, so to speak. You know, it's like Christmas and Lizard Squad's taken down Net Live, and you're like, what?
Right.
Yeah. Unless you're like a teenager who has time, more time than ever.
Yeah. Like, yeah. The, you know. It's definitely, it definitely plays to that group very well too, because it'll keep you happy for very long periods of time if you're happy with the entire grinding experience. But I'm just glad to get cool stuff dropped on me every once in a while.
Oh, yeah.
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 Yeah, we'll have to get Caleb, rope Caleb in there with you to roll with you sometime.
Yeah, I need to actually get on getting the expansion. I'm lagging on my Destiny.
On your Destiny?
Yes. Right.
Your Destiny's lagging.
Yeah. It needs an upgrade.
Mm-hmm. Need to catch up. I haven't been giving it enough attention.
Some drivers.
Mm-hmm. Perhaps.
So what have you been up to, Caleb?
What have I been up to? Saw Mad Max again. That was a lot of fun. Still like it. Second time, actually, I liked it even better than the first time, which is already saying a lot. For one thing, like when you get to the second time I watched it, like Max's story becomes a little bit more apparent, like what it is and who what you know, because his story kind of happens within his own head. And everything.
Yeah.
So that's kind of a different sort of way to get around it. But I, again, like that a lot. See, what else have I been up to? I picked up a little bit of Dragon Age because that's since my weekend, my time to dedicate to sit down and gaming has been a little bit sporadic. And Dragon Age can be, you can move in and out of that one relatively easily if you don't mind, if you're not doing like a big plot point. And I've been kind of avoiding that for a little bit because I'm just like tooling around the world.
Just doing some side stuff.
Mm hmm. Which has been astonishingly satisfying.
Yeah. Tasteful side stuff.
Bonk.
what?
The one thing that I have done that's a little bit more unique, a little bit different, is I actually got a Cat5 cable to use for my Xbox One. So all of my Wi-Fi troubles have gone away because I'm not using bleeping Wi-Fi anymore.
Yeah, just so to kind of fill in the audience, you've been for a while now, your Wi-Fi and your One
have just not been talking to each other, and it's I'm not sure who to blame on that one. I'm not choosing to blame anybody just yet. Just saying it was really lame for a while, and if you are having trouble with that, it's a relatively small investment to get a hardwire cable if it will actually reach, if you can, like, snake it around your walls or whatever, but it will make a world of difference. It's the most dependable way to get internet signal from one location to the next, despite all what they might say about Wi-Fi routers being, totally awesome, which they are, but if you want dependable signal, put a wire on it.
Yeah, Wi-Fi is really awesome when it's brand spanking new. And as soon as it starts aging, just the tiniest little bit, it starts becoming a slightly odd uncle or something like that. He's usually really cool, but every once in a while, he is really into sharing his favorite gins with you or something like that.
Like, well,
and
no,
it's just inappropriate because you're like 4 years old.
No, I just want to watch this cartoon.
I don't want this smelly stuff.
Yeah. No, don't tell me that story about the war. Like, I just.
Right. Yeah. It's not that I don't love you.
But I'm four, apparently, in this story.
Yeah.
But I'm very eloquent for a four-year-old.
Yeah.
Right. Well, this is all internal monologue.
Yeah. Right.
Which can be as eloquent as you want when you're...
It's true. Yeah. It's true.
It's Louis C.K. like inside the mind of a four-year-old or something.
Right.
Monologue or something, I guess.
It's pretty much all that
That's
exists.
The first name that popped in my head. So.
Mm-hmm. No, it works quite well, I think. Good. So
there you go. Yeah, and also being in an apartment complex, Wi-Fi occasionally gets really crowded.
Ooh.
And if you get enough people in the same channel, all you have is static.
Yeah.
So another reason why it probably was not the hottest thing. And the router that we have right now is not the most advanced, so it's occasionally just a little stupid. So now we've bypassed the Wi-Fi and all the things that had no trouble with Wi-Fi, like laptops and cell phones, they're all fine now. But Now the one is like, yes, this is how it was supposed to yeah. be.
Now I can use this.
yeah. Yeah, I've noticed that Wi-Fi problem also in like oddly, like sort of halfway affluent neighborhoods where they'll buy a top-of-the-line router and just turn it on to its highest possible setting.
Oh, yes.
And broadcast their network like 40 miles away. And so it ends up being the same problem as an apartment complex because you have like 3 miles worth of routers all interfering with each other.
Yeah.
Because they all have to have the top-of-the-line router and don't know how to mess with their settings.
Yeah, you don't need to turn the gain all the way up to 11. You'll leave it to where it just covers your house. Right. That's perfectly fine.
It might actually cause more problems.
Yeah, turning it to 11 might not help.
Well, it's higher. It's better.
Yeah. So how about you, Joe? What have you been up to?
Let's see. This weekend was a combination of anime.
Okay.
More Witcher 3.
I thought I saw some Crunchyroll.
Yes. Okay. Witcher 3 and the new COD DLC. Or Call of Duty, just in case the audience like,
right.
What are you talking about, fish?
Yeah,
not a fishing game.
That type of fish has gotten fairly expensive lately anyway. So,
yeah, fishy.
So I got back in on an anime kick because of, and I know this will be plugging another podcast, but you know, hey.
Yeah, whatever.
We actually know the person who runs this one.
Oh.
And if you remember Miranda Caleb on Twitter? Uh-huh. Well, she got a job at IGN.
Awesome. And, good on you, Miranda.
She now runs the IGN Anime Club podcast.
Oh, cool.
She started. So I tweeted at her, was like, I want to start listening to your podcast, but I'm afraid of spoilers because, you know, I haven't really watched like a lot of new quote unquote anime.
Right.
But she's like, oh no, we, you know, give you a warning if we spoil anything, you know, blah, blah, blah. So I started listening to it again and it got me like back on wanting to watch anime again.
Okay.
So I did end up subscribing to Crunchyroll because I was watching it with the ads.
Yeah.
You know, and it
no
was like,
ads is really nice.
Yeah. And, you know, a little bit better quality picture and that sort of thing.
Yeah, right.
And, but yeah, so I was doing this in the past. Like, I was like, okay, I've got a few series, like, you know, Naruto Shippuden, One Piece, and Fairy Tail. They're all like super long and I'm nowhere near like the latest episode. So I thought, well, I want to still watch all three, but I can't really, like, I need to figure out a way to do that since they're so long.
Right.
So I was like, okay, I'll watch up to an arc or, you know, half of an arc or something. Like, I'll watch a chunk, stop, maybe go to another one, watch a little bit of that.
So you don't burn yourself out on it.
Yeah.
And so it's a meaningful chunk, too.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I went, like, I sort of remembered where you and I, Jason, stopped on One Piece.
Oh, okay.
Like, a long while back, you know, with the
like
skeleton
the
guy.
Right.
But I was
that
like,
awesome.
The Halloween Island.
Yeah. But I was like, you know, since I don't remember all of that, I'm going to go back to where I remember a good chunk, but really loved.
Okay.
And that was like the whole, I think it's the Water 7, like the CP9 fight.
Yeah, that
just
was
like,
really good.
That's just like, I didn't mind at all rewatching that.
Yeah.
And so,
because the animation in that sector was also really good too.
Yeah. And so, like, that's what I was watching, like, on Crunchyroll. Like, I finished that because it's nice. They have, like, the way their system is, like, they have them broken up into the arcs.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and then
that is really cool.
Yeah. And then I went, you know, online and I found, like, for each of those sites, like, the filler episodes, it's like, okay, so those are filler, so I'll skip those. Because at this point, like, while they maybe they're good and all, I have, like, over 300 episodes to watch.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, I think I'll just stick to the regular
core story,
stuff.
Yeah.
The only ones that I've heard are halfway worth watching are some of the Shippuden ones, just because they introduce you to the human side of some of the different tailed beasts.
Oh, okay.
But other than that, it sounds like it's not
it's
really
not
any big loss.
Duper. Yeah. Okay. So yeah, I finished the Water 7 arc, like, skipped the few filler that they had in there.
Okay.
And then, like, the last one for that was, like, this fight between Ace and, I forget his name. But
Blackbeard?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it was, like, Blackbeard something. Like, some other name to him. But, yeah, I think it was that. And so, and then it was, like, it ended, you know, like, the end of this fight, like, changes things in the series or something. And all. It was, like, some all cryptic thing. I was like, oh, okay. So I finished that and then was like, okay, So I finished that chunk.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't super ready to like jump back into Naruto or Fairy Tales. Like, you know, mm-hmm. I want to try and watch something newer.
Okay. Right.
And maybe like isn't as long that I can kind of finish off and then be like, at least I've watched some newer anime. So
right.
I was like trying to kind of decide.
So Death Note, you went straight.
Ooh. I already watched that one. Okay. So a while back. But so I decided to do Kill la Kill because I'd heard about that one.
I was wondering who was going to mention that.
So yeah, I watched like the first 5 episodes and I don't know. Have you watched?
I've watched everything except the last 3, I think.
Okay.
I think that's where I'm at.
Have you watched this?
I've watched some. I've watched, I think, up to episode 3 or 4. Actually, it might be around the same place you are.
Okay. Yeah, that is weird.
That is, it is one of the strangest shows. It's like, watching that show in some ways kind of reminds me of watching Ranma ½, because like, there is a certain amount of just absurdity that happens that everyone implicitly accepts. But at the same time, you're just going, wait, what just happened?
Yeah, the primer for that show is Gurren Lagann. You almost need to watch that first to get used to the style of it. And
okay.
Then,
is it the same people? It looks like it's the same. Okay, okay.
It's basically, Gurren Lagann is like a boy's coming of age story, and it's supposed to be, this is a girl's coming of age story. So
okay. Makes sense. But yeah, it was just, and I thought at first that it was only like 13 episodes or something, but when I looked on Netflix, it's kind of the standard 24.
Right. 24, yeah.
So yeah, it's 24 or 26, something like that. There. So that was another reason why I picked it too, was like thinking that it was a shorter one. It's like, oh, okay, I can finish this a little bit sooner, but 24 is not that bad.
Nah.
But yeah, I was trying to, because I sort of decided of, they do it too on the Anime Club podcast. They can have like a rule, they call it like the rule of 3.
Okay.
Like, give an anime 3 episodes, sometimes 5. Mm-hmm. If it hasn't clicked with you by then, like just drop it.
Because
a lot of anime, it's like you can watch the first episode and be like, nope, I'm not watching any more of this. And then like come find out.
Yeah.
Maybe if you'd stuck with it a couple more episodes, you would have been super hooked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'm like, I think I'll finish this one, but it's just so bizarre.
Yeah.
It was not what I was expecting. I was just
It is quite the visual experience.
What the heck?
Yeah. Yeah. I remember thinking some of the things, like while enjoying the absurdity, like watching it going, this is very strange. I enjoy this, but this is very, very odd.
Yeah. If you don't like fan service, I wouldn't recommend watching this.
It's funny because they probably spent like a ton of time figuring out how to do this, but they did figure out a way that makes it so there's a reasoning behind the fan service that makes some sense for why it would be a positive thing.
It's at least consistent within its own world. Let's put it that way.
And so, it ends up being kind of a weird balancing act for that show. Because you see people doing cosplays of it at different anime conventions and so on. And it's like, yeah, that's a pretty skimpy outfit.
Yeah.
And but at the same time, I kind of respect what's behind it. So,
There is method to the madness, but it is still just a fair degree of madness.
Right.
Yeah. It's just so funny, too, when she kicks it, like, the suit in and, like, the straps, like, kind of like engage, like pull, you know, almost like revving up like an engine or something, oh, tight. And they do, you know, because it's just like any transformation anime kind of things, you know, they have the transformation scene.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just,
I'm trying to remember, there was a series a long time ago, I can't remember what it was even called, but it was like a dude with sort of a gauntlet that it would rev up and it would end up being the main way that he fights.
Oh, okay.
There's certain elements to that
familiar.
That it reminds me of that show, but
yeah, and her like school friend that constantly like gets the crap beat out of her, or like everyone makes fun of her and all that stuff. And it's so funny how they sort of give her like confidence, but like in the weirdest way, like she doesn't know that she has like this kind of confidence and strength. Like,
exactly.
Mm-hmm. Like she'll just pop in to, like when bad guys are like attacking the main character, she'll just pop in like, no, she's doing this. She's really strong and she can stand up for this and blah, 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 blah. And you're like, what the? And then it's like, oh, I got detention. I have to clean the bathrooms now. Like, that's why I'm in the bathroom. Like, it's just so... Like, what the heck is...
So you got the one with the hunter with, like, the weird nail gun?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's about where I had stopped. So I think we're around the same place. And just kind of like, this is... Yeah, like, the way I got to that moment, I'm like, what?
Yeah, I think it's... They look like sewing needles to me.
Okay.
Yes, it was needles, because there's a lot of like clothing, like and fashion references and the a lot of the stuff, which is
because it's like their powers come from. I mean, gosh, to try and explain the show, it's
you're better off
I could,
to watch
but
it.
Like the
it's basically Life Thread is what it comes down to. Is
yeah, but these kids, obviously it's like high school, like a lot of anime,
right?
And they're like. Powers that they get, it's like from their uniforms.
Mm-hmm.
Have Goku give uniforms.
Goku uniforms for this one particular school gives them certain degrees of power and stuff like that. And so, but the main character gets like a special one.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
Mm-hmm.
Naturally.
Yeah.
And
gonna
like
not going to have a run-of-the-mill Goku uniform for...
And her weapon of choice is half of a pair of scissors.
Very large pair of scissors.
Yes, it is. It's a very large pair of scissors, but it's half of a pair of scissors.
That was pulled from the body of her father, if I remember right.
That's where it was found. So yeah,
it's got some dark turns in this, despite the bizarre humor.
So yeah, I would say if you're interested, try that rule of three, maybe even five. Like if you're still not, but
yeah, it makes a lot of sense for anime.
Yeah, because some of them, the concept is so high that you're like, it takes a while to jump over that hurdle.
Yeah, and just to get like used to that sort of style, but but yeah, and then like, I mean, sometimes it's not always the case. Like sometimes, like bam, you'll jump into an anime like from the first episode, and you're like, I'm hooked. But
Bebop, man, you know, Bebop did that to me. I was like, oh, this.
Yeah,
I think that did it to all of us right here, and I think we're kind of unique in that. Vain.
Mm. Yeah, it's funny. I've heard people complain about that there's no story in Bebop. I'm just like, what? Mm. I don't even know how to reply to that.
Yeah,
it's sort of true. It just doesn't slap you in the face type of thing. It takes some looking.
Well, it's funny not to like continually pimp that other podcast, but they're doing like a watch party, and they went to their audience, you know, like, vote on an anime that we'll watch together. And so they'll watch two episodes.
Club?
Yeah.
Okay.
So they'll watch two episodes each, you know, episode of the, or, you know, each podcast. Mm-hmm. And then they'll talk about those two episodes. Mm-hmm. Cowboy Bebop got voted as the one to watch. And so Miranda had watched it before, but the other two ladies on the podcast hadn't watched the series before. Huh. And a lot of the audience too, it's kind of like a mix. Like some know about it.
That's so
it
weird
is,
to me.
Yeah, it's weird, but it's like it also like thinking about it, just it's now like I don't want to consider it an old anime, but it is an old anime.
Yeah.
It's like it's just like what? No, you haven't watched Bebop, and just people like, oh, that's old anime, like. Oh, it's old anime.
Right.
No, really? No, it's not that, you know.
Old doesn't mean bad. Come on, guys.
No. I know, but it's just, but yeah, it's, you get now, like in certain parts of the audience, like they still are end up liking it, but yeah, it's different than a lot of the newer anime that a lot of kids now are kind of growing up on.
Right.
Yeah, so, what sort of brought it home to me wasn't actually an anime thing, but it relates so cleanly to anime or any other type of television or media or whatever, is you think about what you considered old music when you were growing up. And then you
fast forward.
That if you applied that same thing to like people that you know who are younger to you, it's practically everything that you've ever listened to is considered old music.
Speaking of music,
if you would like to listen to KSU even when you are not near a radio, you can stream us whenever you want at kscu.org or on the TuneIn radio app or website. And then you will never be without the underground sound.
That's right. And of course, pro tip.
Find our station faster by doing a search for KSCU. That is unique to our station on the globe.
That's right.
Nice.
And then I'll quickly talk a little bit about the new COD DLC. I played I ended up playing, because I never played the second
Advanced
DLCs.
Dorsal Fins? No.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I never played the...
Three times the dorsal fin.
The second zombies map. So played that a little bit and then tried the new one, because the new one added Bruce Campbell.
Nice. Oh, okay.
And it takes place on a carrier.
Oh,
okay. So, like, it looked like, I guess, sort of following the trailers, it looked like Bruce Campbell's character shot John Malkovich's character or something. Huh. So, but yeah, I don't really know a lot of the story, but ended up, like, I think Bruce Campbell's character, like, picks them up at the end of the second episode and then takes them to this carrier or something like that. Kind of loosely following the trailers, but anyway, so that was fun. Then they've added some neat little things to that. Like, there's one of the things you can pick up, like, creates this weird, like, shield around you, so you can, like, okay, just run through zombies and it'll just slice them up.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
So that was cool. I mean, it's, you know, those modes are fun with more people, but I still enjoy at least trying them out a few times by myself. Yeah.
Well, anytime you're playing, just let me know if you see me around. I'm completely cool with trying that game out. So,
alrighty. And then the maps themselves are good. Like, there's a remake. I think it's called Skyrise, and it's a remake of Modern Warfare 2 map High Rise. And I didn't know. Oh. Like, I was like, when I, you know, they advertised it and said, oh, it's a remake, I was like, I don't remember that map. But then when I started playing it and I was following the layout, because they just changed the, you know, cosmetics of it, but they still keep the same paths and layout and everything, I was like, oh, I know what this map is. It's the one where you start out, you spawn in two buildings, and then in the center is the top of another building, and then there's like a helicopter pad in the middle of one section, and then there's like a little lower section you can go through that, like, you will go through and connect to the other two buildings.
Yeah.
And then there's like a crane on one of the ends that you can jump up and get on one there.
I remember it now. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was going through, I was like, oh, I remember this map now. I was like, yeah, I remember here. Okay. Oh, there. All right. We're going to go over there. Ha ha. Got you, buddy. Like, I was sort of like, I think I'm playing against people that never really played much of the other one. I don't really know this map, but I was like,
yeah, I remember that one was brutal with, either Pavlos or Harriers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just because it was so open to the air.
Yeah. I was like, oh, get inside, get inside.
Yeah.
So yeah. So that one was fun. There's one, I think it's called Kremlin. That's pretty cool, where it is also like two buildings, and then there's like a long hallway or kind of pathway outside that you can run across to get to each one. Okay. And then there's, I think on the top, there's like miniguns that you can use to shoot down. And then along the sides, there's like snow and stuff that you can run through. And I think at a certain point or something can happen, like those, remember the, I forget what they were called, but you place them down and if you run by them, the explosive would pop up.
Oh, the Claymore mines?
Yeah, but they were like automated ones. They were, I forget. They were in, I think, Modern Warfare 3. It was there.
Not the Bouncing Betties.
No, they weren't. Oh, they were, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I forget what it was called.
I want to call it Torch. No. But yeah, I know what you're talking
about.
But
those, like, those will get laid out in that
area. It's
like
an anti-explosive thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean.
Oh, no, never mind. I know what you're talking about now. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they had.
They were really good for, like, you'd set them in corners or something so people wouldn't see, but they'd make that noise when, and then the explosive would pop up and you'd want to, like, duck as fast as you could or something.
It would, like, yeah, it would fling basically like a coffee can worth of explosives into the air.
Yeah. So, like, so those would pop up, so it would kind of, like, prevent you from trying to go, like, around certain areas.
Okay.
And then they had, like, a small map, which is, if you're familiar with the campaign of Advanced Warfare, there's a small little section in the campaign where it's like a training ground at the Atlas Corporation. It's basically that, but just like a little bigger. Like, okay. In the campaign, it was kind of a little smaller area. This is just expanded, but it's a, like, this training compound. I think it is called compound, I think.
Okay.
Uh-huh. at the Atlas Corporation, and that's kind of like the smaller map that to kind of run through and everything like that. But and then let's see, it was there's one more. Which one was that one? It's Parliament, I think. Okay. And it's like
is it Funkadelic?
No.
Beat me to it.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
It's okay. It has like buildings, and I think you're next to like the river or the ocean or something.
Uh-huh.
But they're all, I mean, I think they're all pretty good. I think I mentioned it before, but I think their DLC maps are better than most of their regular maps. So
yeah,
it's nice that they.
Yeah, the original maps were kind of disappointing on that one, and they do seem like a pretty decent upgrade. The first batch that I played with, so.
Yeah, and then I don't think this came out a while ago, but I don't think I ever had a chance to talk about it. But the, because like that. M1 irons or something that they gave everybody.
Yeah, I saw that it officially came out like for everybody this last weekend or something like that.
Yeah, it's like easily one of my favorite guns in the game. It's so good.
It looked pretty cool. Like the different variations look pretty sweet too, because they'll play up sort of an older cowboy theme, or they'll be like something out of Trigun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, and I love it. There's no like, there's no kick to it. It just, it's so smooth.
Nice.
I mean, it only holds, well, like the standard one only holds 6.
Uh-huh.
I'm sure they might have, you know, variants that maybe hold more, you know, that you can get from packs and stuff like that. But, and I've typically noticed that it takes about 3, unless, you know, maybe if you get a headshot or something like that. So you can maybe take a couple guys out with one, full cylinder, but it's mostly like, you know, one person and then you got to reload or something like that. But it's just nice. And I finally unlocked like the akimbo version of it. So I'm looking forward to trying that out. But
yeah, I'd heard also that they finally ended up making non-akimbo versions of the permanently akimboed weapons.
Yeah.
That sounded pretty good to me too.
Yeah. I think
so that seemed like an odd choice.
Yeah, I think they were the vectors, were akimbo. You're like, whoa, okay. But yeah.
45 slug on an akimbo, that sounds...
They've never treated that gun like it throws a 45. Yeah. Maybe the very first time, like back in Modern 2, I think. I think it was pretty mean like that back then, because it was one of the last unlocks.
Yes.
Yeah, but ever since then...
Yeah, because what it was in Black Ops 2, right?
Yeah, I think they've had it in everything since... Modern 2 outside of World War 2 stuff.
Yeah.
They put it in that.
It should have been, yeah.
Yeah.
Special unlock for World at War.
Yeah. A gun from the future.
Alrighty. Well, if you're an animal lover who wants to help homeless animals find their forever homes but have limited time to volunteer, you can join San Jose Animal Advocates, a local nonprofit, and is building a community network to help find loving foster and forever homes for pets in our local shelters. With your help, we can save countless animals. All it takes is a few clicks, and you can share their stories with your network of friends. It's easy. Join them at sjanimaladvocates.org or look for them on Facebook. So, anything else, gents, before we take a music break?
Nah, I think I'm pretty good.
I think we covered it.
People with Destiny a little bit too much. Because there were a couple things that you'd mentioned in Advanced Warfare that I felt like, oh, well, there's this thing in Destiny that's kind of like, but yeah, no. I won't do that to people.
Another day, perhaps.
Yeah.
Well, I'll throw this out. Do you want to do new releases now, then take a music break, or do you want to take a music break and then come back with new releases?
I say music now.
Yeah, let's do the music break now.
Sounds good to me. All right. We'll be back with more Robots Attack after some music. KSCU, Santa Clara.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at RobotsAttackMe. Email them at RobotsAttackShow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at RobotsAttack.me.
Alrighty, welcome back to Robots Attack. Let's hit some new releases.
Woo!
In the theater this week, we have Jurassic World. 22 years. That's right. 22 years.
Seems like yesterday.
After the events of Jurassic Park, the island now features a fully functioning... You can keep going. Fully functioning dinosaur theme park, Jurassic World, as originally envisioned by John Hammond. After 10 years of operation and visitor rates declining in order to fulfill a corporate mandate that can never be good, a new attraction is created to re-spark visitors' interest, which backfires horribly.
What?
I know. Well, if you're not interested in worlds that are Jurassic, maybe you're interested in the 11th hour. Successful businesswoman Maria has achieved everything except what she wants the most, a baby of her own. She decides to deal with the matter by herself and embarks on a desperate and dangerous journey in order to make her dream come true. Whoa. Then there's Live from New York. Saturday Night Live has been reflecting and influencing the American story for 40 years. Live from New York explores the show's early years, an experiment from a young Lorne Michaels and his cast of unknowns, and follows its evolution into a comedy institution. Film looks at SNL as a living time capsule, encompassing decades of American politics, media, tragedy, and popular culture with irrelevant edge. Then there's Me and Earl and the Dying Girl. Greg, a high school senior who is trying to blend in anonymously, avoids deeper relationships as a survival strategy for navigating the social minefield that is teenage life. He even describes his constant companion, Earl, with whom he makes short film parodies of classic movies, as more of a co-worker than a best friend. But when Greg's mom insists he spend time with Rachel, a girl in his class who has just been diagnosed with cancer, he slowly discovers how worthwhile the true bonds of friendship can be.
Ooh.
There you go. Nice little handful of some new movies.
Yeah. Perhaps if you're not into going out to the theater this weekend, maybe you've been really busy or whatever, you want to check out some stuff on Blu-ray and DVD, here's some you might consider. The Last Ship on Blu-ray and DVD. A U.S. Navy destroyer is out at sea when a global outbreak destroys most of the population. Not the survivors. Survivors must come to grips with a new reality, a world with almost no people. TV show what? From so the complete season, first season sounds like it's out. Something a little different. Kingsman, The Secret Service, out on Blu-ray and DVD. In a world of shadows, there are gentlemen that have bonded together to protect humanity, sometimes from itself. Into this world is thrust Eggsy, a quote-unquote lowbrow kid with potential. And it's going to take a lot more than a snappy suit and an unusual umbrella to stop a multi-billionaire with plans of population annihilation.
When did we see that? When did that come out? Feels like that wasn't that long ago.
Early this year. Yeah. But it got pushed back from late summer last year, so that's they probably didn't need as much time to make all the extras.
That's right.
Already we're printing them.
And another change, and a rather drastic switch here, is Red Army on Blu-ray and DVD. It's a documentary about the longest-running and most successful sports franchise in history, the Soviet Union's national hockey team. The film follows the trajectory of Slav Fisov. I apologize for the pronunciation, who was captain of the team for many years, and he went from national hero to political eyesore.
Zero.
Oh.
And it also, the film also seeks to show the effects that a hero can have on the nation's future. So there you go, yeah. And rounding it out with something very light, The Duff on Blu-ray and DVD. High school. It's not everyone's cherished memory. But for Bianca, he's even a little bit worse. She is the Duff. That's with quotes around it. Which is designated ugly fat friend.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, pretty awful. And everyone in school knows this. But Bianca isn't going to settle for that. This year, her senior year, she's setting out to prove them all wrong about who she really is.
You go, Katara. Who the actress also plays. Anyway, in the realm of video games, we also have Jurassic World, this time in Legos.
Wow. I think that would be better than the movie.
It's coming out on the 9th to practically everything that you can think of. thanks to the concurrent release of this and the movie, for the first time you can directly compare the charisma of a Lego version of Chris Pratt to a non-Lego version. Who will win? Oh, and the They have Lego dinosaurs too.
So oh, okay.
Pretty good.
But is so, Chris Pratt actually going to be voicing Chris Pratt in the Lego game?
I don't think so, but that would be pretty cool.
That would be kind of awesome.
Mm. Didn't he do the voice in the Lego movie?
He did.
Yeah, but that's a not comparing a live action Chris Pratt to. It's like comparing a Lego to a computer animated Lego, which is kind of like the same thing because. Anyway.
Yeah.
His heads explode across
I the had nation. An entire rationale for why it was the first time. It doesn't really need explaining.
It's okay.
Anyway, in other video game news, Dreaming is releasing, well, today on Steam. Clean design permeates this dream world setting using white along with families of similar colors to shape a world where you hope to track down a mysterious woman's voice. Short and episodic gameplay is what you can expect from it. In a slightly more reverent zone, Pump Action Captain, now available versus via Steam. It's a FPS on a mission to be simple and substantial. One life and one shotgun gun versus anything that you can think of that can be designated a bad guy, basically.
Hmm.
It's a roguelike RPG. And that's about it. Also, we have a re-release of an arcade classic in the arcade archives for PS4, Gradius. You can celebrate the greatness of Konami of yesteryear with this port by Hamster Games to the steamy PS4. In sort of a non-port, but kind of a classic, Dr. Mario Miracle Cure is coming out on the 11th. To the 3DS platforms. It's classic Game Boy game refitted with color and powerful miracle cure pills. Okay, and then finally we have Operation Abyss, New Tokyo Legacy, releasing for the Vita. Fight in the deep dungeon-like streets of near-future Tokyo where genetically manipulated monsters roam and the only hope is powered-up teens from a mysterious organization formed to solve it all.
So it's a Japanese game, I'm guessing.
Yes. That's why I invented that entire massive run-on sentence.
Something told me, and that description sounded, I don't know, vaguely Japanese. I can't quite put my finger on it.
Yeah. I figured I'd finish games off with that note.
That's a good one. So from games to comics, because that's a totally direct correlation. Over now on the West Coast, that's kind of weird to think about, is DC. And we're doing it there this week. You can pick up Starfire, number one. Well, she's held many titles, Outlaw, Princess, Teen Titan. But she's always been looking for a place to call her own. Here on Earth, she feels like she belongs. And she's going to do all she can to make sure it stays that way. Cross country now instead of across town. Is Marvel, and they have are releasing a new title, Weird World, number one.
Whoa,
weird. The Marvel Universe is full of many strange places, and there are few that compare with Weird World, a planet that is a strange mix of magic and mad science. Archon, drawn from the Marvel vaults, walks this planet on a perilous quest.
Ooh.
Oh, the perils.
Mm-hmm. Bouncing back to... this coast with Dark Horse and Rebels number 3. It's early in the American Revolution and the militia is pushing back against the British. In the wake of events around Lake Champlain, Seth is forced to take a long walk home. A walk that is mirrored both in this moment and in his own history. The harsh weather matching his harsh memories. Over at Image, it's Savage Dragon number 204. Malcolm versus Angel. And very possibly one of the strangest Savage Dragons yet. And rounding out the list is IDW's Long Distance, number 1 of 4. A couple make their heart connection in an airport, but their final destinations are separated by a state and a time zone. Can love bridge space and time?
Oh,
I see what was done there, I think.
Deep.
Right? Do I see? Yeah.
I think so.
Okay, yeah, I see it.
Alrighty. And I will round us out with some music. Hopefully it stays. All right, we've got more Faithful by No Joy. It's the third full-length release for the Canadian indie. It moved. Stop. For the Canadian indie band led by Jasmine White Gloose, was produced by Jorge Elbruck. We've got Apocalypse Girl by Jenny Havel. The fourth full-length release for the Norwegian artist was produced by Leslie Marhog. We've got Drones by Muse. It's the seventh full-length studio release for the British alternative rock band. It was produced with Robert John Mutt Lang. And then we've got Kablamo by Ash. It's the first full-length release in 8 years for the alternative rock band from Northern Ireland. It was produced with Claudius Mittendorfer. And that's it.
Nice.
So there you go.
Pretty good lineup.
Pretty good handful of some new releases all around. Of course, there's tons more, but we just like to stick our hands in the mass stickiness of new releases and pull and see what sticks to our fingers when we pull out.
Yep. It's good to have a few choices, though.
Yes.
Alrighty, so...
So, what we're going to do is tease the folks some news, because we'll take a real quick music break and then come back with that news. So... Do you want to tease him?
Oh, a guy figured out maybe the best or the very worst place to practice his guitar playing.
If you ever wanted to walk on the Enterprise, you might be able to go to China. And do so.
Oh, okay.
Whoa. Interesting. I know I'm interested. All right. And, of course, on June 12th and 13th at 8 p.m., Tabard Events at Theater on San Pedro Square presents an epic show revisiting the most prolific decade in rock history, the 1920s. catch the Syndicate of Sound in the city they put on the rock and roll map with their snarling 1963 top 10 hit Little Girl as they combine song, story, video, and dance to present the high-powered revival Heart of the 60s. For tickets, call 408-679-2330. That's 408-679-2330. Or visit tabardtheater.org. All right. Take that quick music break and then come back with the news. More Robots Attack here on KSCU Santa Clara.
News.
That's right. Welcome back to Robots Attack. We are in the news. Let's give him some news, gents.
Okay. I don't know if you can imagine anything much more harrowing than having brain surgery.
Not much.
Yeah, that'd be
seems
something.
Like a big deal.
Kind of a big deal. They're going to cut open your skull and start poking around inside your brain matter. Yeah.
Right. And what makes it even worse is that they practically demand that you stay like... up and awake through the entire thing to make sure that everything's going well and so on, which is a new level of horror that I can't even imagine. Well, this guy, Anthony Diaz, he figured out possibly the best way to handle the entire situation. He spent the entire surgery, 9 hours worth of it, playing guitar.
Ouch.
There is a video of the entire thing. It's pretty surreal. So he managed to keep his mind off of things by playing guitar through the entire brain surgery and managed to keep the doctors in good spirits and whatnot.
Yeah.
Through the entire things, too. Apparently, during the entire thing, he managed to play some Portuguese folk songs and some classic Beatles, along with a range of his own... music, since he was a professional music for years before that.
Okay. Yeah, I was wondering if it was like, well, doctor, I'm just learning how to play the guitar, so it'd be a good time to practice. Like, oh, God, no.
Now is not a good time to do that.
Wait, I got it. Hold on. Let me try it again. No. Let me try it again. Oh, God.
If I had to do it, I'd probably bring a ukulele that I'd never seen before in my life.
Simplify
just
matters.
Just picked this up right before the surgery.
I'm waiting for you to say it.
Say what?
Oh, I could have swore you would have said it when Jason dropped ukulele.
Oh, ukulele no good.
There you go.
Sorry.
If you're not aware, that's a reference to FL Seal.
Mm-hmm.
FL, one of
FL
Caleb.
Seal, like yes. the large
mammal. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And not Seal,
the singer.
Singer. No.
No.
Kiss from the rose on
He doesn't
the
like ukuleles. Or ukes, as we call them.
No.
People in the know.
Oh. Is that what they're called?
Yes.
I had no idea.
For short.
I'm not that hip in the uke scene, or what was it? What is it?
Just uke.
Uke.
Yeah.
Okay.
Two ukes.
A couple of utes.
I'm too square.
A couple of what? Ukuleles, Your Honor. So, branching from old movies that you should see to new movies and things that are cool, like the Starship Enterprise. And like
well,
I
that's
said,
also old, too.
It's old, but it's also new because the J.J. Abrams recently rebooted the series.
Right.
And
he had control, delete.
Yeah. Something like that. But anyway, the over in China, the game publisher, his name is not listed that I can see at the exact
Chinese
second. Anyways,
game publishing.
Anyway,
Trekstar.
They made a company that a Chinese game. There's NetDragon. They
of course.
Okay.
They made a new building for themselves.
Oh.
And the head of this company is hardcore Trekker, and he actually paid licensing fees and rights to Paramount and NBC to create a building in the shape of the Starship Enterprise from the rebooted movie series.
It's slightly smushed, but it's pretty close.
Well, it actually looks a lot like the one from the new movies.
Okay.
It's, I mean, obviously there's a little bit of variation, but yeah.
Yeah.
From if you when you see the picture in Google Maps or your mapping service of choice, you will, and you go to the this place, you will find what looks very much like a landed Enterprise on the property, and that is sort of awesome.
Oh, nice. Man. And like that story, and especially the next one I'm going to do, we've got visual components to our stories, and
yes.
since we are on the radio, it's like, well, great. How can I see that really cool picture? That's no fair. You guys were able to see it in the studio because you could show laptops and phones and stuff. But I'm driving here, or I'm at my computer, or I'm like somewhere where I can't look at things because it's all on the voices and stuff.
Right. Well, sir, I mean the pictures and videos, if you will, are waiting patiently for you. At our website. And where is that?
Well, you can eventually they'll show up on robotsattack.me, but right now they will be on facebook.com/robotsattackshow and twitter.com/robotsattackme. All one word, no punctuation.
Both of those places.
Both of those places where you will find things right now. You can tweet, like, retweet, comments. It'll be awesome.
Multimedia radio, wave of the future.
Wave of the future. We started it.
Right.
If we're the first one you listen to that's been doing that.
Right.
Then technically. But.
Yeah, we were the first for you.
Oh, I do say, going back to your story, Jason, I saw like the picture of that. Like I didn't really read into the story, but I saw like that image on Twitter or somewhere, you know. And I thought the reason why they were having him play the guitar was like because when they were operating, like they wanted to, like they were not experimenting, but like testing like areas of the brain, you know?
That's usually why they have people talking through the entire process also. So I think it was like two birds, one stone type of thing.
Okay.
So well, that worked out pretty well.
But yeah, I can imagine that would help pass the time. But.
Yeah.
Alrighty, so like I mentioned, this my next story is visual, and it will be somewhat surprising because it involves 3D printing, and it's not Jason that's talking about
it. I know.
That
is odd.
So, this is a story about 3D printing giving a turtle its life back with titanium jaw implants.
But it is an animal story, so.
Yeah, so there you go. Yeah. It balances out.
Right.
Like, well, wait, okay. So, we've given underdeveloped puppies new legs, injured bald eagles new beaks, and now, again, thanks to 3D printing, we've given a sea turtle new titanium jaws. Recently in Turkey,
bulletproof turtle.
sounds like a weird like import film.
Yeah,
yeah, some spinoff of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles or something, mm-hmm. or like Sharknado or
yeah.
one of those monster movies. Some but
bulletproof turtle this summer.
Yeah, he's a private eye. so recently in Turkey, an almost lifeless loggerhead sea turtle dubbed a cute. Three, I think it's like AKUT three, so it's probably like a cutie, maybe. Uh-huh. I don't know.
Okay.
Was brought into the Sea Turtle Research Rescue and Rehabilitation Center, missing most of its lower jaw and what appeared to be run in with a boat propeller. The 45 kilogram sea turtle was eventually nursed back to health by the center via force feeding, but the injuries to its jaw were bad enough to make reintroduction to the wild impossible. Turkish R&D corporation B-Tech Innovation, who specializes in 3D printing medical prostheses and implants, stepped in to help for free.
Nice.
Working with veterinarians and surgeons, B-Tech first generated models of a cuties. That's all I'm just going to
roll with it.
A mm-hmm. skull with CT scans, which you can see in the picture. It looks pretty cool.
Huh.
Next, those models were used in 3D prints, the medical-grade titanium implants that would restore cutie's ability to feed. And an audience of surgeons and veterinarians watched the hours-long surgery that took place last April. Thankfully, a cutie, perhaps the first turtle to ever benefit from a 3D-printed prosthesis, pulled through and showed no signs of rejecting the implants over 2 weeks after the surgery.
Nice. Very cool.
Still recovering from the procedure, but faring well. Cutie will hopefully be released back into the sea later this year.
Where he will hunt down that boat with new, more powerful teeth.
Yeah. You can see there's even a video you can check out after the operation embedded into the article. But see, as you can see, I'll show the guys.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can see.
Whoa. That's pretty cool.
It. Yeah.
It's I sort impressive. Of want one now.
It's pretty impressive, but... But yeah, that's cool that they stepped in free of charge.
Yeah, especially with titanium. That's not cheap stuff to 3D print.
No. Oh, before you get to your next story.
Yes.
Here's some tech that doesn't involve any 3D printing or titanium, but can be just as cool.
Okay.
If you want to listen to KSU even when you're not near a radio, you can stream us whenever you want. At KSU.org or on the TuneIn Radio app or website, and never be without the underground sound. And of course, the pro tip.
Do a search for KSCU. Our call letters are unique to our station on the globe.
Well, if you've listened to us at any point in the past, there's a good chance that you've come across us talking about Amazon's bid to take over the world.
It's true. It was a running theme for a while.
We have mm-hmm. documented all of the different odd little locations that Amazon has popped up that we never expected them to, that they're basically trying to take over every facet of human civilization. Well, they're now venturing into the realm of video games.
Dun, dun, dun!
And not just selling them like you'd think.
Mm-hmm.
They're actually.
I'm sure they're doing that too.
They're looking into making them.
What?
Yeah, they apparently managed to scoop up an entire passel of video game creators. Let's see. In a sponsored post from Gamasutro, they said this: they have a team, and the team is made up of former Portal, World of Warcraft, and BioShock creators, and we're building a team of top talent for an ambitious new PC game project using the latest technology. Not old technology.
Yeah, right. Nobody wants that.
The latest technology. Our team in Seattle has worked on a lot of other great titles like Half-Life 2, Left 4 Dead, Dota 2, Halo, Infamous, Shadows of Mordor, and The Last of Us. So, yeah, they've managed...
Last but not least, The Last of Us.
Very good, very good. So, yeah, they're pulling together some major talent, and it looks like they're looking for a little bit more, but it'll be interesting to see what sort of stuff they come up with.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I had heard that they'd snagged the original guys behind the latest version of Killer Instinct.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
I forget the name of that company that brought it to the Xbox One, and then like Amazon got them, and then the Killer Instinct like moved over to another team or something like that. But
okay.
I get the name of that company, but
I can't remember either off the top of my head.
Well, I just want to say snagged someone that worked on the original Portal too.
Yeah, that was listed. Okay.
Yeah. Destructoid was trying to be a little bit tongue in cheek by saying that they really wanted Amazon to work on a Tarzan game. Yeah,
that'd be pretty clever.
It's clever.
Yeah, it would fit with the branding.
Yeah. It would. Yeah. Before we get too far away from the turtle story, one of our astute listeners came back with that they should rename the turtle Turtle von Unterbeit, which is a Venture Brothers reference, in case you want to look that up later.
Okay.
Von Unterbeit, yeah. And interestingly enough, the transitioning from Baron Unterbeit to my story is not too far off.
Okay.
This one is about the slightly scary yet increasingly impressive cheetah robot, which was made by MIT.
Ah.
Now,
100% scary. I'm sorry.
This is.
It's choking you up, just the fear.
The
fear. No.
It is thus far the fastest legged, not tracked, robot that's been made to date.
That's why I don't trust it.
And it is learned a new trick. It has learned to jump.
Oh, great.
You can they show it running on a treadmill and also running around a room. Jump and going over obstacles and all that stuff. Now, if you're occasionally wondering why you'd want a robot that can jump, you might not want a robot that can jump, but the system that tells a robot to jump would be really useful for self-driving cars, perhaps.
Jumping cars?
Maybe.
Jump that car.
Right. I think that's the sound a jumping car makes. Like.
Yeah. Fast and Furious 8, man. It's just going to be all self-driving cars.
Right, all making that noise.
But yeah, I was thinking more along the lines of like that sort of quick detection and reaction time would be something that would be good for, say, that wacky pedestrian that has decided to make a left turn onto a crosswalk without looking, like they do all the time in Bay Area. But yeah, it's one cool to watch because the motion of this robot is pretty intensely cool because it actually moves like a cheetah and it's fast. It's and it can be tethered or untethered, so it can like free roam around a space too. So it's pretty awesome.
I think that scares Jason even more.
Yeah, just a little. That's all we need. Now, is free range robotic cheetahs.
Hey, now
at least they're healthier.
Yeah. That's true. Hey, now Claptrack can get one of those and not fear stairs anymore.
That's right.
True.
My old enemy stairs.
Not anymore.
Yep. There is an upside to it.
At this point, because it's still like all these robots are pretty experimental at this point, it can only jump obstacles up to 18 inches at 5 miles an hour.
Okay.
So there's a little bit of time.
You're okay, Jason. A
little time left.
Okay.
But I would just like to go on the record saying I, for one, appreciate it. Embrace our cold and feeling arms of our robotic overlords.
I'm going to fight my last breath.
So now just make sure to be somewhere that's 19 inches up.
Okay. I'll try and do that. There's a desk in front of me that looks like it'll do nicely.
You can just get on that and... And you'll be safe.
Right.
Yeah. We have a listener chiming in, a robot now with 30% more terror. Also totally awesome. And why would you not want a robot that jumps?
Uh-oh.
Jason.
The audience is asking you, Jason.
I don't even need to answer that.
Man.
Well-minded people understand implicitly the importance of non-jumping robots.
Someone's trying to dodge this.
Well, okay, maybe this next story will put your mind at ease, Jason.
Okay.
You consider yourself a Leonard Nimoy fan, do you?
Well, it puts my mind at ease.
Okay. Well, apparently there's being an asteroid named in honor of Star Trek's Leonard Nimoy.
Oh, that's
nice.
And so he rests in the final frontier. It's a little sub thing under the article.
Nice.
Leonard Nimoy has been immortalized as a celestial body. Asteroid 4864 has been dubbed 4864 Nimoy in honor of the late Star Trek actor. Part of the asteroid belt between Mars and Jupiter, Slate reports, 4864 Nimoy is roughly 10 kilometers across, approximately 6 miles.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And orbits the sun every 3.9 years.
Okay.
Oh. It was first discovered in 1988. And, of course, the article goes into talking about Nimoy is best known for his role as Spock, the half-human, half-Vulcan officer from the original Star Trek television show and movies. You know, just in case the audience
right.
is like, who is this guy?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But
in case they don't belong on our show whatsoever.
Yeah. But
that'd be new, you know. Right. Everyone starts
what are
somebody.
You new? Smack.
But yeah, that's cool. Robin Williams got into World of Warcraft.
Right.
Right?
Yes.
And then now Leonard Nimoy's got an asteroid.
Right. Mm-hmm.
He also has a sculpture on Vulcan in Star Trek Online.
That's right. That's right.
Okay. And they added another thing to Star Trek Online that I thought was a little bit interesting, and I'm not sure it's the best use of his name, but they did, I guess they just started like some sort of summer thing that's a tradition on
The
Star Trek Online where they have like contests and whatnot on a beach on Risa. And so one of the things that you can win through the contest is apparently a custom surfboard that is named after Leonard Nimoy.
Okay.
So you can get a Nimoy surfboard.
That's cool.
Star mm-hmm. Trek Online.
Some legendary people being immortalized and things that could potentially last really long time.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In another game that will hopefully last a long time, at least in my book, Tekken 7 is making the rounds at Evo, which I'm very excited about, and I want to see more of it. But it is...
What is Evo, for those who do not know? Or will the article go into that?
Well, actually it doesn't, but it, basically a multiplayer fighting championship is what Evo is. Anyway, the
Evo stands for Evolution Championship Series.
Whoa.
It sounds really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty cool. Anyway, according to the Mad Catz community manager that's in charge of the Tekken 7 side of the tournament, everybody needs to bring their own DualShock 4 in order to play in the tournament. So it's the first time that they're actually requiring people to bring their own controller to play the game, even though it is actually going to be one of the first run consoles of the actual like licensed hardware from Japanese arcades. It's not going to be controlled at all by onboard controllers. It's going to be nothing but DualShock 4 across the board.
It does level the playing field.
I do wonder, like, if they're going to do any sort of checks on them to make sure that they're not altered in any way or whatnot. That seems a little bit odd, but
mm-hmm.
but yeah, it's definitely a first, and I'm sure it's welcome to most people since practically everybody who is a big fan of the game likes using their own controllers, and unless they're one of the fans who was playing on 360 for previous incarnations. So that was not an ideal controller for that.
No, it was not.
I for one, am looking forward to it on the Xbox One, because that's a much better controller for that. But the only downside, of course, is if you don't have one of those controllers, it does effectively add an extra $50 to your entrance fee to the championship.
Okay. And also, if you're used to the timings of a different controller, it will feel a little weird.
That's true. But yeah, I know a lot of people, a major concern is whether they'll end up having to use a a DualShock style controller, or actually use a normal arcade fighting stick, which most people consider way more challenging to use and pull off the more difficult moves. So it's interesting to see them say, this is the way it's going to be.
This is how it's done.
Right.
There hasn't been any word on when that's releasing. Is there, like, on consoles?
I haven't seen anything for the United States. It's already out in arcades overseas.
Okay.
But that usually ends up creating some problems when it comes to trying to get it over here. They have to make really special deals with arcade cabinet companies in order to get it over here. And so much so that the last incarnation that we saw over here, in, at least in the Bay Area, all of the arcade consoles were like really weird Las Vegas style, like game machine types of boxes instead. And so half of them ended up being on benches, so you'd have to actually like sit in front of them, and the other half were on weird little pedestals.
Cabinets,
like. So they were taller than average.
Huh.
So yeah, it was a little bit odd, but it was still a really interesting experience.
It is weird too to think, like, I mean, I get it, you know, especially like in Japan or in places where arcades are still prevalent,
right?
Mm-hmm. But like just thinking over here, like how like they haven't announced like when it's coming to a console, like even just of like just the money, you know, like that you get, you know, it's just so weird that there's still those few games where it's like it's gonna come out this first,
yeah,
and then after a little bit we'll announce some stuff for that, you know.
Yeah, it's always odd, like all of the different licensing deals that have to be made between the United States and Japan. For some reason, there's something way more difficult about them that ends up really complicating things. And so unless it was ironed out like years ago, which a lot of these things are, and why they end up streamlined,
yeah,
it ends up being one of those things that takes forever. So,
well, here's something that doesn't take any time at all. It's super easy.
What's that?
If you're an animal lover who wants to help homeless animals find their forever homes but have limited time to volunteer, you can join San Jose Animal Advocates, a local nonprofit that is building a community network to help find a loving foster and forever homes for pets in our local shelters. With their help, we can save countless animals. All it takes is a few clicks, and you can share their stories with your network of friends. It's easy. Join them at sjanimaladvocates.org or look for them on Facebook.
Very true. Now, before I jump into my story, our listener suggests that Jason might be one of the first to be taken down when the robot revolution happens. And then the wheels are potentially already in motion. Oh. Hashtag Animatrix.
Oh man, there's an old anime too.
It's going back just a little bit. But
I won't be scared. I won't be.
Okay.
Even though I am like a lot. But I refuse to be. But I am.
Very good. The
the robots don't care.
Yeah.
They don't sense your fear.
Right.
But fear sensor is broken.
We care nothing for fear, but we value its effects.
We do not detect your fear, but we will use it to annihilate you. Anyways, in lighter news, recently the Adventure Time TV show, which we are all quite fond of, has won a rather...
Or at least accept.
It recently won a prestigious award known as the Peabody Award. Now, the Peabody Award is typically given out to...
like Sherman and Peabody? That
Not that particular Peabody, but it does share the namesake, which may have inspired the talking dog.
Okay.
But the Peabody Board is known for being very rigorous about their testing of media, particularly things like news, books, television, and...
So we could have a shot at winning a Peabody?
There is a greater than zero chance that we could be in line for a Peabody at some time.
Lay it on us. What is this testing process then?
They did not detail it out in this particular article.
Okay.
But in terms
I'm just wondering how you test an Adventure Time. How do you do that?
Well, let me give you some of the other some of the other things that won Peabody Awards along with Adventure Time. CNN won an award for its coverage of the kidnapping of the Nigerian schoolgirls that happened last year.
Okay.
And NBC and MSNBC also got an award for their coverage of the ISIS events, and the podcast Serial for its investigation of the murder of Haemin Lee.
Okay.
And Adventure Time fits into this because they...
Yeah, I was going to say...
You're like, wait, well, how does that fit in? Their exact words were, "It is uniquely imagined and truly odd fantasy world, which entertains even as it subtly teaches lessons about growing up, accepting responsibility, and becoming who you are meant to be." And this is, they have also recognized other animated shows of note, including several from Disney, including the old Disneyland, before it was an actual location, Disney had a TV show. We would talk about some of this stuff. And also Walt Disney's World of Color.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Or Wonderful World of Color, precise. So these have... But this is... Dr. McStuffins from Disney Junior also got a nod recently. But there hasn't been a lot of recognition for animation, like, until very recently. And so it's nice to see someone other than Disney also get this kind of recognition. And it shows that there is integrity in this form of art that is generally dismissed as being that thing that kids watch on Saturday mornings, which don't exist anymore, but that's a different issue. But, like, you know, it's kind of a reminder that there is actual value in this. It is entertainment, but there is substance and value to these things that are often considered frivolous, and I think that's really cool. And it's something that even comic books have started to get recognized for, telling stories that are actually challenging. And like, in Archie Comics with Kevin Keller, it busted a lot of barriers, opened a lot of doors, started a lot of conversations that people weren't sure they wanted to have, but it's important to have them. And so, like, it's kind of in that, the Peabody Awards are kind of in that vein, where it's like things that we need to look at or examine and the ways we can do that. And so this is the more entertaining side of some of that, but it's,
So that's just, we need to start, like, educating people, and then we might have a shot at.
Yeah. We're part of the education process as we bring up these things, but, we're covering, like, the uprising of culture and around us. I mean,
the culture of robots.
Culture of robots, yes, some of that, and also the culture of geek as it is becoming more and more mainstream. Like, what we talk about is more and more prevalent to, like, quote unquote, everyday consumers. And even just like 3 years ago or 4 years ago, if you'd mentioned that they were making a movie of Captain America, everyone would have probably looked at you like you had grown a second head. You know, you're like, what? They're making a movie about some silly comic book? Ugh. But they've done it, and they did it.
And something patriotic. So.
Mm-hmm. No.
And they did a really good job of it. And the sequel was actually rather good, too. And it's like, the idea that there is sequels, they have movies planned out till 2016 and beyond. So it's like,
hope you like superhero movies.
There's gonna be a lot of them.
Yeah,
but like,
a handful.
And also, like, the Apple and its great deepening influence over mass market culture and stuff like that. Like, there's all these
fruit is more popular now.
Fruit is getting more popular. Yes.
Yeah. I had an apple last week.
I had an apple today.
Man,
you guys keep the doctor away. Good job.
I'm thinking I might have another one tonight.
Oh, nice.
Now it's fresh in my mind.
There you go.
See, thank you, Apple.
I just educated you on that. An Apple education.
Right.
Peabody, we're so close
right
now. We're
step in the right direction.
We're there.
Yeah, definitely. So, proliferations of smartphones and stuff as it expands, the world expands there. It's just, technology isn't getting less involved in our lives. The realm of quote-unquote geekdom is proliferating further and further. We're all becoming geeks. You just don't know it yet.
It's true. It's true. All right, so before I do this day in history, my last story is about, can bladeless wind turbines mute opposition?
Bladeless wind turbines? How do you?
There's pictures too. A new bladeless, a new bladeless wind turbine that promises to be more efficient, less visually intrusive, and safer for bird life than conventional turbines has been welcomed by two of the UK wind energy industry's most vocal critics. I bet those guys are a riot at parties. the RSPB and the Campaign to Protect Rural England, which have both expressed concerns over the impacts of industrial-scale wind farms on the landscape and wildlife, said the new turbine was encouraging news for birds and had the potential to open up more urban environments to the sector. The streamlined design contains no contacting moving parts, making it virtually noiseless and less prone to vibration.
Hmm.
Vortex Bladeless, the turbine's Spanish developers, hopes these advantages could finally help usher in a viable consumer wind power market. Quote, wind turbines now are too noisy for people's backyards, as David Cerulli, who co-founded the company with Raul Martin and the turbine's inventor, David Yanez. Quote, we want to bring wind power generation to people's houses like solar power. Using the scientific principles of natural frequency and vorticity, the turbine oscillates in swirling air caused by the wind bypassing the mast and then builds exponentially as it reaches the structure's natural resonance. And its powerful effect that famously caused the collapse of the Tacoma Narrows Bridge in 1940,
right.
Footage of which inspired Yanez to try to build a structure to harness this energy rather than prevent it. Must harness it. Quite possibly to take on the robots, Jason.
I'm thinking this guy is like the beginning of Doctor Doom.
It's possible.
He starts for good.
Harness his power. Doom. Quote, the best wind turbine will collect around 50% of energy from the wind, says Cerulli. We are close to 40% with bladeless turbines in our wind tunnel laboratory. The turbine floats on magnets, which as well as significantly amplifying the oscillation also eliminates any friction and the need for expensive lubricating oils or mechanical parts. So even if newer conventional turbines are promising greater and greater power generation, Vortex Bladeless claims that the efficiency of their design will always make it cheaper at whatever scale. Quote, we are using less parts, so manufacturing costs will be 53% less. And the operational costs, including maintenance, land rental, and administration, will be 51% cheaper, predicts Cerulli, for a planned 150-meter tall, 1-megawatt bladeless turbine compared to current onshore wind farms' most common 3-bladed turbines. Quote, we estimate that it will be 40% less expensive than conventional wind turbines per megawatt of generation. This industrial-sized turbine is at least 4 years away from reality, so don't put that pre-order in yet.
Okay.
Cerulli you're prepared to wait for a while.
Yeah. Cerulli confesses, says, but within 18 months, he hopes to sell a 3-meter-high version generating 100 watts paired with a 125-watt solar panel and small battery. This, he says, could be offered as a really cheap system for people living off-grid in Africa and India, supplying enough electricity for 3 lights, a TV, and a refrigerator.
I wonder if you mixed that with Elon Musk's idea with the Powerwall, if you might be able to create like a portable
battery thing would be almost a requirement for that sort of atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
No. Yeah, there's more to the story, but if you want to check out the rest of it, and you can see, like, the picture. Let me see. I'll show you guys. They have kind of, like, a mock-up sort of thing.
Sweet.
Yeah, it's kind of an interesting look. I'll be curious to see how this pans out, because that's a really interesting idea, because the blades, for a lot of people, are just kind of like they just can't handle the way they look.
Yeah, and just like
I really like the way windmills look.
Yeah, I think they look cool too. Cool. Like for me, it's more of like just the space. Like yeah. If you can figure out things like this, it's not as much space that you need for. But.
Well, I know,
and also
like
the
big
keeps the noise down too. That's another big deal.
I know the big complaint for a lot of areas. Like I think the one group that you were talking about, they feel like it ends up spoiling the way things look in an area. Like I believe that area that they were talking about was mostly like shallows and wetlands,
mm-hmm.
and so it ends up being a perfect place for windmills because there's lots of flowing air pretty much all the time.
Yeah,
but it ends up being kind of a nightmare for birds, and it ends up being a problem for people who feel like that is the most pristine surroundings available.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, adding windmills to it just makes it look that much more like happy somehow. I don't know. They're giant pinwheels.
What's not to like?
But yeah, this is really cool tech, and I'm really looking forward to seeing what comes of it.
And I'm sure they're lovely at parties. That was just a little joke.
Mm-hmm.
No, they're horrid.
That's up to you.
We're going
to
get a call from England like right now.
Yeah, Joshua, we're coming after you.
Right.
Why we sound like this? I don't know. All right, so.
Typical British people.
Yeah. Crikey! Joshua.
But I'm Australian now. So I don't understand what this show's about. Guys,
Great Britain is it's the melting pot of everyone, right? Isn't that what they say? Great Britain, the giant melting pot. Anyway, so to wrap up Robots Attack here on KCU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, the Underground Sound, I've got this day in history. So in 632.
Wow. Okay. That's going back a few days.
632.
That's a day or so ago.
The Prophet Muhammad died.
Hmm.
Okay.
And now we jump.
Don't you dare draw that. That could be.
Man, there's no pictures here.
That's good. Yeah.
So then we jump just a little bit to 1845.
Oh, whoa. Okay.
Andrew Jackson, the 7th president of the United States, died in Tennessee. Then more really close to a little bit.
Okay.
In 1861.
Okay.
Tennessee became the 11th and last state to secede from the Union.
Okay.
Then we go to 1968. James Earl Ray, Martin Luther King Jr.'s assassin, was arrested.
That's good.
Then we jump to the 80s, 1982. President Reagan became the first American president to address a joint session of Britain's parliament. We were just talking about Britain. So,
it was probably about wind power.
Yeah. That obviously. Totally seems like Reagan's thing.
It had nothing to do with Star Wars, I'm sure.
Not at all. Then a year later in 1983, I'll just say black baseball league great Satchel Paige died.
Okay.
It uses other terms there, and I
just to be safe.
And then in 2001, Tony Blair and his Labor Party won a second term, overwhelming the opposition at the polls. There you go. There's a little bit of some history on this very day. I'm sure there's other stuff, but that's what this particular website gave me. So, because I've heard, that other stuff of like, oh, this happened on this day. Like, that website didn't mention that. But, oh, well.
Yeah, one totally got me the other day. It said, like, you should be celebrating, what's his name? Ron Perlman's birthday today. Because I guess it was an ad that somehow told that I was of the geeky persuasion off of things that I was watching or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked it up and it turned out to be nowhere near correct. It was like his birthday was months and months ago. So yeah, you can't, oddly enough, you can't believe everything that you read on the internet.
Man.
It's odd.
What?
That's why you should always listen to us right here on KSU. Instead.
It's true.
And if you can't reach us, check snoops.com.
Or
go to robotsattack.me. That is our website. You can find our awesome archives. You might be able to tune in for our other show, Row Around the Water Cooler. And that has also links to all of our social things, like Facebook. which is also available at facebook.com/robotsattackshow
right.
and Twitter at twitter.com/robotsattackme. It's all one word, no punctuation. And then we also have links to our other sites and collections. It's good fun. It's great to enjoy. You should definitely subscribe to our show. We're also available in iTunes if you are interested in that.
If you like Apple-y thingies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or grab the RSS feed and use your podcatcher of choice.
That's right. Nice. All right. That's going to do it for tonight's show. Thanks for tuning in. We will hopefully be back. The summer schedule is supposed to be starting here sometime soon, but I never got like a solid answer. So
we'll let you know.
Yeah, just stay tuned to all those places that Caleb mentioned, and
stay
you'll
frosty.
Find us,
mm-hmm.
and we'll find you, and give you good things.
Yes, give right. you more awesome news and fun things to think about.
That's right. All right, have a wonderful rest of your week and weekend. We're out of here. Take it easy, everybody.
Raccoon. Veronica. Misto.